This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast this week, I want to continue on with this message I've been bringing to you here over the past 6 weeks now concerning this great falling away foretold in the Word of God. And we have to look very serious to what God is telling us and relating to us through the apostles as they carefully, certainly, and in the Spirit of God related to us this terrible time at the end of the age when there'd be a falling away, and because of it, because that falling away would become so great, it would usher in this era of Antichrist activity that's going to come into the world in the last days. Well, we're going back to the book of Jude, and we've been on verse 11 all last week. We're going to go on today with the second part of this verse, dealing with the error of Balaam. Have your Bible handy. I would you'd open up and follow right along with me. But I would want to exhort you again today to really pray for revival. Pray for the church, that God would really raise up a standard here at the end of the age and raise up a standard against this flood tide of evil that's going to be hurtled on us as hordes of last-day teachers will bring in apostasy that will cause such a falling away. Let's pray while we have the opportunity to pray. In Jude, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Well, the error of Balaam, we want to carefully look into that, the error of Balaam. Now, remember, I told you last week that there are these three men that Jude said these last day teachers would be like: Cain, Balaam, and Korah, each one distinctive of the other. Yet these last day teachers would be like all three of them put together. Well, remember last week it was the offering that Cain refused to bring, that blood offering that he just refused to have any part of. Well, that certainly would be the highlight of the way of Cain. Now, Jude says the way of Balaam, they run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now, that goes a long ways, and I have a lot to say about that to you that will listen, and I certainly want you to listen. Now, let's go back and kind of consider and look at the way of Balaam from the Scripture like we did the way of Cain. Now, going back to Numbers in chapter 22, we want to begin right at the very first verse. "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plain of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho, and Balak the son of Zipporah saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel." Well, that's the setting now. God was blessing his people Israel. Now, one thing we can say about God's people Israel, even in this day, as surely they were being led in the wilderness of Moses. Hey, they were God's people, and I don't care what anybody said. God's dealing and God's chastening rod was upon them, and so was the covering God made for sin. Now, we can see here that they were moving on, and surely as they were, you know, on the march through the wilderness during this period of time, they grew yet, they multiplied, they waxed even greater, and Moab now's afraid. They saw what, you know, they had done to the Amorites, how surely God had given a marvelous victory. Now they're afraid of them. And so they're looking for a way around this. Now when we get down to verse 5, it begins to bring Balaam into the picture. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come up out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Well, there's the question now. There's what Balaam is being asked to do. Curse the children of Israel. Well, now before somebody gets into the realm of cursing somebody, surely there's a lot to consider about that. Now, let's go back and talk briefly about Balaam. Now, Balaam is a prophet, not a prophet of Israel, but he is a prophet of God. And the scripture would make it clear to us that Balaam knew God and he was God's prophet. And so we have now the prophet Balaam then in this, he's being requested now to come and to curse the children of Israel. And as Balak calls him, well, he hopes in his heart then that this prophet has some means to really bring a curse, a vexing curse upon Israel that might stop them, that might prevent them from, coming in and taking their land and so forth. Well, we see now that's what this request is about. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I wrought not. He whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Well, Balak seemed to understand that Balaam had power to bring a blessing, and Balaam had power to bring a curse, and he thought surely now that Balaam could come and curse these people, and they would be cursed of God, and he'd prevail, and he'd be able to conquer them. Well, we can understand his desire to do that, can't we? Well, he's thinking in terms of what's going to prosper me, what's going to make me better, what's going to feather my nest, not counting the cost of what it might cost my enemy. Well, here's what happens. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now, right away we see something here. Someone said, when I read that verse, I tend to smell a rat. Did you ever hear that expression? I smell a rat. Now, what do you mean you smell a rat? Well, these elders of Moab and Midian, then they came to Balaam and they had the rewards of divination in their hand. Now, I want you to think about that. Rewards of divination. In other words, Balaam the prophet being rewarded for the manifestation of his gift which he had received of God. Now, they've got pay in their hand, rewards. Hey, we're willing to really, pay you for your service. We'll pay you well. We just want you to come and curse the children of Israel for us. Well, when we begin to think now of why Jude uses Balaam now as an example, running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Well, they come with money now that they might buy the use of the gift of the prophet. Now, if we were thinking New Testament, and if we were thinking the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus made this clear in his teaching in Matthew chapter 10, and certainly said it like this to his disciples. They should heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead and cast out devils, and he said, freely you have received, freely give. Now there's something for us to consider. Now that's the words of the Master. Freely you have received, freely give. We might look also in the teaching of Jesus in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And there it's a different matter now. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling. Now, once again, there's the person now who is hired to do the service of God. And he said, when the wolf comes, he's going to take off. He's not going to stay around. He's not going to hold up there and really defend the sheep, because after all, he's a hireling. He's going to lay his life on the line. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life. Well, think of the hireling then. Or, as Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Now, if you've got a gift of God, surely it's not for sale, is it? If you've got a gift from God, God didn't give it to you to sell to others. And we must consider that any good thing that God would give unto us, we dare not make sale of it. We dare not make merchandise of it. We dare not go down the avenue of merchandising the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, God forbid that we should do such a thing. Yet this is what Balaam is known for now. This is where he ran greedily. This is where he went his way. And, hey, this is where Balaam begins to make the mistake of his whole life now. It's going to cost him something. Well, we want to follow this. And tomorrow, we're going to look on just a little deeper, and we're going to see now a few things in the life of Balaam that'll help us in our knowledge and in our understanding of why Jude says these last-day teachers will be like him. Father, quicken the word and make it real and alive in our hearts today, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message dealing with this falling away foretold of the apostles to take place here at the end of the age. Well, yesterday we were looking into the third phase of this verse of scripture in Jude, verse 11, certainly referring to us of going the way of Cain, the way of Balaam, the way of Korah. Well, we're dealing with Balaam, and we're going to continue on today in Numbers chapter 22, and, well, we're going to look into verse 8 as we get into our message today. Let's not forget our exhortation that these are days when we need to really pray and really get our mind on God and really get a hold of God in these days, that God will raise up a standard against the flood tide of lukewarmness and modernness that will creep into the world here at the end of this age. Well, today, remember as we were signing off yesterday, we found these messengers coming to Balaam, and they had their hands filled with money, which the Bible refers to here as the rewards of divination. And so they came unto Balaam. This is what Balaam had said. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now it goes on in verse 9, and God comes into the picture. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent them unto me, saying, behold, this is a people that cometh up out of Egypt, and goes on describing how they really cover the ground in great multitude. And, well, Balaam is now going to tell God who they are. Well, what we really want to get into now is in verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now there's God's word about Israel. Balaam, don't go. Now we've got to mark this verse of scripture. Balaam, don't go. Don't go, Balaam, don't attempt to curse these people, for they are blessed. Now, Balaam should have been able to add it up right there, right quick, and say, look, I mean, there's nothing I can do. God said they're a blessed people. And as far as making any money on this deal, I'm not going to make a dime. But you see, when we run greedily, and when money becomes an object of our heart, you know, we're not going to stop at God's red lights. We're not going to stop and consider that God said, now don't go any farther. This light never changes to green. This is a permanent red light. Well, I mean, it's a light that's staying to Balaam. Now don't go down that road. Now don't make any attempt. Now God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Now, I want you to understand that we have a hard time as human beings sometimes to take no for an answer. And when God said no, to know that God meant no, and God said no, Balaam, don't go with them, and to understand that God meant now, Balaam, don't go with them. Now, Balaam didn't understand that. When we've got money on our mind, we're going to find it very hard now to take that sort of thing to heart. And Balaam rose up early in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you back into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Well, someone said, now that sounds reasonable. Balaam knew he shouldn't do it. God said, don't do it. Now Balaam says, well, I mean, go home. I'm not coming. God said, no. Well, we'd think that's the end of the chapter. We'd think that's the end of the story. But my, it's basically only the beginning. And it only opens up the door to show us now what Balaam is really like. So, you know, there's the pressures. I like to deal with it like this. What's your price, man? You know, that worldly way. How much do you really want? Well, what would you sell out for? I mean, if the price was great enough, what is your price? I mean, what would it take for you to kill a man? Would you do it for $100? $1,000? $100,000? Well, some said, nah, really not. $1,000,000? I mean, $10,000,000? I mean, what is your price? Where's the breaking point in your life? Are you so dedicated to Christ, there is no breaking point? You've settled it. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. It's final. There's no more chapters to write. I am going to stand with the Lord. I'm not going to sell out, and I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to make heaven my home. I mean, is there a breaking point? I mean, what is the price? Now, in Balaam's life, this becomes an important issue. Now, with a handful of money which was offered to him, surely Balaam refused it. I mean, he just wasn't tempted that bad by that handful of money that of itself was going to say, well, I'm going to do it anyways. No, Balaam said, go on home. In verse 15 it said, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came unto Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Hey, the stakes are getting a little higher. Now, Balaam is offered great honor, prestige. Now, money, honor, prestige. I mean, he's going to get rewarded for this, and this would be his reward, to receive those things. Come and curse me, this people. Now, if Balaam is the true prophet that he ought to be, Balaam already knows the answer, and Balaam would already know that no is God's answer, and just because I'm offered more money doesn't make it God. Just because someone comes along now and annies up a little more cash, gives me a little more now to be promoted with, and says, well, whatever your price, name your price and come and do it. Oh my, Balaam should have known right here that the devil has got him in that place now where the devil's going to gain control of him, because he's got a little bit of what we call greed in his heart. And as Jude likened Balaam unto the last day false apostate teachers who run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now, he's giving us this example to show us what they would be like. Well, I mean, Balaam, you've got all this offer now. What are you going to do? And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, you see, he's still got something about him. Well, I mean, even if you give me your house full of silver and gold as a prophet, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord. Well, if he'd have stopped right there again and said, now look, this is it. Don't bother me. Don't send anybody else. I'm not coming. But you see, the stake is higher. Therefore, the temptation to sin and to do wrong becomes greater. Well, when we think about last day teachers, then we realize they're going to be tempted greatly. They're going to be tempted to be greedy, and they're going to be tempted to run looking for not only money, but prestige and honor. And they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itchy ears, who shall turn away their ears from the truth, because there's no love of the truth in them, because they love not the truth. I mean, we have all those sayings now in the words of the prophets describing these men. Oh my, these teachers in the last day are going to be like Balaam. They're going to be tempted, and they're going to give over, and they're going to have both hands out, and surely they're going to have titles up both sides of their arms. I mean, like hash marks on a, you know, an admiral's sleeve who's been in the, you know, in the Navy for 50 years. I mean, he's got, every 6 years, he's got a stripe on his sleeve. Well, they call them hash marks in the Navy. Well, we realize now, I mean, these men are going to look for glory and honor and prestige and, of course, plain cold cash. And so Jude said these last day apostate teachers would be like this. Well, Balaam's got the right idea, but the wrong principle here. Now, therefore, he goes on to say, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Uh-oh. Right there's the breaking point, isn't it? Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to talk to God about this again. God said no before, but maybe he changed his mind. I mean, you're going to pay me more. Maybe God wouldn't want me to lose this reward. I mean, think about it now. There he is, going back to the Lord about this same issue. Now, today, if we'll consider when God says no, it's no. When God said something's wrong, it's wrong. God isn't going to make something wrong right just to get around to satisfy because you want to do wrong. Well, Balaam, may you realize, Balaam, may you understand that this is not the right way to go. Well, Balaam's back now, and Balaam's ready to seek God. He wants to go. Well, we'll get into that tomorrow. Father, quicken the word and make it real and alive in our hearts today, for we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with the message dealing with this last day falling away, and surely God's warning to us about the heaps of last day apostate teachers which will emerge in the earth in this last day and really cause a multitude to fall away, to reject Jesus. My, we ought to listen to this. We ought to listen to it very carefully. Let's pray and let's seek God and let's ask God about it. And if you have any wondering in your mind about these things which I've related to you, I'd certainly tell you, pray. Ask God, seek God about it. May God give you wisdom and understanding. We're dealing with Balaam. Jude saying they ran greedily after the error of Balaam, likening what the last day false teachers would be like. Like Cain, like Balaam, like Korah. Well, remember as we finished our program yesterday, these messengers of Balak were back to Balaam, this time armed with a greater promise, more money, more prestige, more honor. Name your price, Balaam. We'll give you whatever you want. Just come and curse these people. Well, now, Balaam told him, well, I can't go beyond, you know, the revelation of God. I can't do more than God would let me do. So it goes on now, and we're continuing in verse 20 here in Numbers chapter 22. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up, go with them, but yet the word which I say unto thee shalt thou do. Now this sounds to your natural ear like it might tend to be a little bit on the, the contrary side. Now if we'll think about what I mean, you remember to begin with, God said, Balaam, don't go. Balaam had no permission to go. Now he's really sought God again, and now God said, go. Now why did God say not go, and now he says go? Well, right here's a point where you and I will learn something about the Lord. We ought to learn a lesson here from Balaam that when God said no, you better stick to the no God gave you to begin with. You better stand on the no that God gave you right off. You better stand on that. You better take it. Now, this is where we oftentimes have a problem. We won't take no for an answer. We just can't accept that some things we're just not going to get. Some of our ways just aren't going to materialize. God's not going to do things just because we said so. Now, what happened? Well, it said, and Balaam rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And what does verse 22 say? And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary unto him. Now, let's consider that. Now, here's the way of Balaam. God said, Balaam, I don't want you to go. Now, Balaam is insisting on going, and in his heart, because of money, because of prestige now, because of being promoted, all getting his, you know, real cap in his feathers to say, now he's going to go anyways. Well, now, God said go, and the next verse said, but God was angry because he went. Well, I mean, I want you to learn something from that. Now, you know, it's almost like people today would say, well, go ahead, you know what I mean? Go ahead. And if you do, you know what's going to happen. Well, you see, they say go ahead, but they don't mean go ahead. Well, here it is right here in the Word. And old Balaam now goes right ahead anyway, and God sent an angel. Now, the angel got in front of Balaam to stop him. The angel got in front of Balaam so to prevent him from going down there. And what does he do? Well, you know, Balaam gets on his little ass and he starts riding off, and while he's going to go with these men, and surely it says in verse 23, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and a sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. Well, I mean, look at the little animal. Now, the animal saw an angel standing right in the pathway. And the little animal, in seeing it, just turns aside. Says, hey, I ain't going down there and face that. The angel had enough common sense, or the ass had enough common sense not to face the angel. Knowing that, sure, he's got the sword drawn. Well, one might look and say, here's a point where the dumb ass not only is used here as an illustration of the ass later speaking, but of having at least enough sense to know that there was a place here to stop. But what about Balaam? No, Balaam, he just got mad at the little ass because he turned out of the side and Balaam smote him, you know, to turn him back into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Old Balaam's blind, isn't he? Now here God said, don't go. God raises up an angel in his pathway to be an adversary to him, that is, to resist him from going, to stop him from going, and he's going anyways, isn't he? Now he wants that money, doesn't he? He really wants that. And you know, I want you to understand, when we want something bad enough, it can blind our heart and eyes. I deal with a lot of people who's that way. They'll look and search and search and search the scriptures because they want to get married again. They've just run off on their husband or wife, and my, they want to get married again so bad, and they'll look for some kind of what they feel there's a loophole in the Word, and they're going to get through it, and somehow they're going to make out that it's all right. It's all because it's in their heart, and their heart is deceiving them. Well, Balaam's heart is deceiving him. He's got that money. Remember, that's what the Scripture said these last day prophets would do, run greedily after the heir of Balaam. God tries to stop them, but they won't stop. Now, these last day false teachers will certainly face God as an adversary. God will try to stop them. He will deal to try to stop them. But like Balaam, they won't listen. They'll go right on because their heart is set on what they're getting out of it. Prestige, honor, and cold cash. Think about that now. Balaam wanted that so bad, and Jude said these last day apostate teachers would be like Balaam. Well, twice now he smote his little ass. Well, it goes on and said, and the angel went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. Now, the angel had no place to go, or the little ass had no place to go. It was in a narrow place, couldn't turn off the road, so my just fell down. I mean, just said, hey, I'm not going to run into that angel down there. He was stopping her. Well, we look at old Balaam, gets off now, and takes his staff and starts beating the little ass, and, well, my, the poor little creature here doesn't hardly know what to do. But I like this 28th verse. It does reflect something to us. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou smote me. I would that there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden every since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Interesting, isn't it? Now here's old Balaam carrying on the conversation with the dumbass. I think about it. I mean, wouldn't you, if your kitten over there on the bench, or, you know, your dog's laying there, if your dog got right up and started talking to you, wouldn't you think that was rather strange? I mean, would you talk? I know some of you folk do talk to your animals, but do they talk back? Well, maybe in a way they let you know they're listening, but they don't carry on a conversation like this. Surely Balaam should have got this as a sign. Said, now look, something's wrong. Hey, I mean, my animal's talking to me. Something's wrong. I should understand. What am I trying to do? And, well, we've got to realize that he didn't see that. Well, may we understand, and may we understand with all of our hearts, surely there's an end to things like this. But old Balaam was having a hard time to see that. But all at once his eyes are opened, and here stands a great big angel right in his way. And the angel's got his sword drawn.
Boy, St. Balaam, you better stop. Judgment lies right at the door. Remember Cain? My lands, he cried out, my punishment is greater than I could bear. It brought judgment. Well, now the angel's ready to bring judgment, trying to get it into Balaam's mind that he was going the wrong way. Well, today, we've all got to understand that when God said no, he means no. No use you going against it. No use you trying to get around it. No means no. And God said don't go, then don't go. Father, I pray you'd quicken the word today, blessing it into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message dealing about the great falling away at the end of the age. Remember how the Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 that before the rising of Antichrist, there'd be a great falling away. Well, may we know and may we understand then, surely that great falling away will be the very reason why Antichrist will arise in the earth at the end of the age. Well, we've been dealing now with these false teachers, these apostate teachers I've been warning you and warning you about. They will emerge in the earth. I'm foretelling this. I'm prophesying this to you in the name of the Lord. They will come, though you don't see all that Brother Daly's saying to you today. You may see tidbits here and there, but I'm foretelling you this. It won't be long. You will see what I'm telling you and what I've been relating to you here in the last 7 weeks about these false apostate teachers that are coming. Well, we were dealing now with the words of the Apostle Jude. Remember, he said they'd be like Cain, they'd be like Balaam, they would be like Korah. All three of these evil men wrapped up in one. And we've been looking as it was illustrated to us then by the Apostle Jude, they run greedily after the error of Balaam. Well, we followed Balaam, and yesterday we saw how Balaam was. He surely was in that place now where his little ass had seen the angel standing in the way, resisting him from going to curse the children of Israel when God had previously told Balaam, don't go. Balaam is going anyways. Now Balaam gets his eyes open after the little ass speaks and talks to him, and he sees the angel standing in the way. This confrontation of the angel now is where we take up in our broadcast today, and we're in Numbers chapter 22, verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "What? Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." Now here's Balaam. The way of Balaam is perverse. I mean, his way is perverse. God had told Balaam not to go. But Balaam runs greedily now after reward. Balaam runs greedily because he has a promise. In verse 17, "For I'll promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people." Now you see, the temptation before him is so great that it makes his way perverse before God. Now, whenever a man in this business, the business now of ministering the gospel of Jesus, really gets his mind on money, gets his mind on reward for service, certainly his way then becomes perverse before God. As we previously stated, how God's word in Matthew 10 made it clear that you and I have freely received and we are to freely give. Now, this perverse way, it is a perverse way that Balaam is going. He wants that reward so bad, he's going to do anything to get it. Not going to stop. Now, one would say right here he ought to turned around and headed for home. Right here he ought to gave up this journey and said, look, I've gone far enough. My way's perverse. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm getting my mind so on this money and so on this reward and so on what I'm going to get out of it that I'm losing control of myself. But like every greedy dog, you know what I mean, he's going to go on and get what he's after. So you'd think Balaam would turn around and go the other way. Well, the angel said, you know, your way is perverse. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. My, Balaam, you owe your life to this little ass now. You owe your life to her. She hadn't saw me and turned out of the way, I'd have killed you. Oh, my. I mean, is it that bad, Balaam? Balaam can't see it. You know, we think of old Balaam at this state. Now, it gives us a picture of what men can be like. And Jude said this is what last day teachers would be like. And so there it is. Now, what does Balaam do? Well, first of all, he acknowledges something. In verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Balaam, you're thick. Up here, Balaam, you're thick. If my way displease thee, the angel just got done telling him his way was perverse. The angel had already told him. God had told him not to go. Now, isn't it strange that Balaam can't see? Now, this is the way we've got to understand then, that last day apostate teachers whom Jude said would be like this, this is the way they'll be. Nothing is going to stop them. Now, God tried to stop them, they didn't. God sent an angel to try to stop them, and that didn't stop them. And my lands, what's it going to take? Now, Balaam said, if my way displease you, I'll turn back. Oh, my. And the angel said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. What kind of a cat and mouse game is this? I mean, Balaam cannot understand that God is telling him, don't go. Ah, you should learn from this. You should learn from this. And the next time you start fighting for your own way about some issue, you start pulling your own way. God may give you your own way, but you'll be sorry for it later. Amen? A good many a person pulled for their own way, only to wind up. You know, God said, what you sow is what you're going to reap. God tries to stop a lot of people from doing things that he know would be harmful and hurtful to them because of his love. Surely God doesn't want one of us to be hurt, but oftentimes we don't listen. God tells us and we don't listen. The prophet of God tells us, we don't pay any attention. We let it go in one ear and out the other. We just don't give any weight or credence to those things which God has said. And we just look for a way around it. And I know how many times, you know, someone will come up to me and surely they'll tell me, well, I've been talking to this preacher and that preacher. I got this view about it and that view about it. What's your view? What do you mean, what's my view? Well, what's their view? You got their view, now go on it. You see, what they're looking for is someone to say it like they want to hear it. Not like it is, but like they want to hear it. And so they look for someone who'll soft-pedal the issue to them. You know, we've got to understand now that old Balaam's way is perverse, and you know, he's not about to turn back. He doesn't want to turn back. Balaam's got his money on what he can get out of this thing. Now, this is the error of Balaam here, you know, running greedily for reward. I mean, this is what Balaam surely has done. And so we see his way, and his way is really perverse now. And I want you to understand that this is the example of the lesson that we learned from Balaam. Now, we learned three things. You know, Balaam ran greedily for reward. there's the error of Balaam, and certainly these will follow along in the last days after the error of Balaam. Balaam had no sense, no knowledge, no understanding that that people, Israel, were blessed, that God had blessed them, that God had covered them, you know, as to cover their sins and forgiven their transgressions, and he couldn't curse them. And I want you to understand that that blood offering puts us under a covering. That blood offering brings us into a right relationship with God, where the blood cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And, well, as God's people, we stand. Now, there's the doctrine of Balaam, which is altogether different. And when Balaam could not succeed in doing what he's doing, here trying to curse the children of Israel, then he comes back later and teaches Balak how to bring the judgment of God against Israel and taught the daughters of Moab to go out and intermingle with the children of Israel, with the men of Israel, and have an affair with them. And my lens had brought the judgment of God upon the camp, and my, it caused the thousands to die as a result of the judgment. Well, that's the, you know, the doctrine of Balaam. If you can't, you know, just go in there and curse them, go in and defile them. And because they're defiled, then God will have to turn against them. Oh, how clever. But all three points are, you know, well illustrated to us in the Word. Now, these last day apostate teachers will be like Balaam. And on the broadcast tomorrow, I just want to go back with you into, you know, the New Testament and show you how to apply much of this about Balaam right out of the Word of God. I think that unless we see it from that practical point of view, we won't wholeheartedly understand how they're going to be like Balaam running greedily for reward. Now, also today I want you to think in your mind that God has his own set of checks. You know, when God's trying to check you and tell you don't do something, I mean, learn this from Balaam, don't go do it anyways. Don't step out there and say, I'm going to do it. I mean, if God says no, remember, you act upon it the first time, leave it there. Don't try to change it. Father, I pray you'd quicken the Word, making it real and alive in our hearts. Father, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about this great falling away here at the end of the age. Surely reminding you that we need to pray and seek God, that we be prepared for such an hour as God is warning us is about to happen right before our eyes. And I've been forewarning you that God shows me there's going to be a stirring move come. And this stirring move is going to bring a horde of apostate teachers upon us. It's going to cause a great falling away. Remember the vision God showed me, I related it several times to you about standing by the seashore, seeing that water look so innocent that you just want to wade right in, but yet when you waded into it, the undertow was so great it would suck you away and you couldn't get out of it. Remember how God warned me about the subtle work that Satan is about to begin? Well, that was 3 years ago. Hey, we're 3 years in the make of this. Now, we better expect and believe in our hearts down inside that surely, as God's Word also warns us, there'd be a great falling away. Well, I've been relating to you last week and this week about this verse of Scripture in Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Well, I'd like to talk a little more about these false teachers that God said will come. And he said it'd be like Balaam running greedily now for reward. Look at this now, and I want you to think about it. Peter said these words. Now we have the apostles' words to verify it. And Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, God said these last day teachers would be covetous. Now, they'd want and want and want. Balaam was covetous. He was offered money. My, he was offered to be promoted with great promotion. And finally it was said, Balaam, name your price. Well, might, I mean, that's the covetousness. Now, God warns us of last day teachers who would come by now that with feigned words make merchandise of you. I think we've seen a lot of examples. Now, I'm going to say it because it's true that, you know, there's a lot of people today that would enjoy hearing the gospel and hearing the gospel preached, but because there's such a drive in people for money, that multitudes are turned off and they say, well, all you want is money, 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 money. Now, is that true? Well, we realize that many, it seems to be the game. Money, money, money. That's all they talk about. That's what's on their mind. That's what's on their heart. Yet other preachers are interested in your soul. They're interested in getting the word out. They're interested in reaching the lost. And they know that radio and television is a good medium now to get the word out to the masses. So they're wanting to do it. Well, that corruption that's around about us makes it very difficult. And so we all have to realize in our heart that many would take advantage. Now, I want you to look backwards a bit and see that, my, I mean, there's been so much extortion out there that it just caused a multitude to be turned off of the gospel because of extortion. Feigned words make merchandise of you. Why, some of the things that I hear people do is enough to curdle your blood. I mean, anybody that's got any gospel sense would know and understand that God's word would be against it, but my, it just seems, I'm surprised. Some preachers have more gimmicks than you can shake a stick at, and they got a new one every week. Well, I mean, it's a gimmick for what? Making merchandise of you. With feigned words, make you believe that if you don't get it, you're going to die. You won't make it without it. And then they talk it up so big, and then they put a big price tag on it, and my land, you're almost compelled to buy it because you believe you're not going to make heaven without it. Well, we see that kind of thing now. But when these last-day teachers, I'm telling you, of emerge, they're going to be covetous. They're going to have ways that will get a hold of people. And in an era of prosperity, prosperity teaching, prosperity, prosperity, prosperity will be the whole message then. You know, it's not going to be the salvation that is going to concern them. The blood of Jesus they'll deny. The coming of Christ they'll deny. And surely will come forth with a materialistic message that'll fit the hearts of multitudes of people. Now, you think this is far-fetched. You may wonder in your heart and mind why I'd even say it. I'm going to read you another text, and from it I want you to consider now that this is the end product of these apostate teachers running greedily after the error of Balaam. Listen to these words. Now I'm reading Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Now listen to why. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now consider those words. What will the last day apostates cause Christians to say and cause the church in her boast to say? They'll look at God and say, I'm rich. I have need of nothing. My, that's striking, isn't it? I mean, why are they saying they're rich? They are rich. That's why they're saying it. Why else would you say you're rich? I mean, would I say I'm rich if I'm poor? I mean, I'd be a liar to say that. Look it. They're going to boast they're rich. They're going to boast of their riches. My, you look on down in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and you'll see that the church is boasting there of its riches. Certainly. Now, that's what's coming, and that's what's going to be a part of the apostasy that sweeps over the earth at the end of the age. And the church becomes more and more involved in riches. Well, you know, being rich is one thing, but what's the bottom line, preacher? Rich in money, rich in materialism, rich in goods. But Jesus said, the truth is this, and you don't know it. Well, he said, you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, that's the true state of the church at the end of the age. They say they're rich, and Jesus said, you're spiritually so poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind. And the Lord said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now, this is why the last day teachers are referred to now as being like Balaam, running greedily for reward. They themselves will become very involved in prosperity and in the teaching of prosperity. And maybe, brother and sister, we may see an air of prosperity for a season before the end. But let us know and let us understand now, we're warned in the Word that men would be like this. Now, if we'll consider the words of the apostles, their words are very weighty. Paul the apostle, he warned us also, telling us that, you know, in the last days, men would be covetous. I mean, that's the very top of the list in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Men, lovers of their own selves, covetous. This covetousness that's going to come and get into everybody's heart, and we're just going to see a greedy thrust for materialism. Brother and sister, always remember this. You can't take it with you. It's not going to profit us. And many are going to believe like this. They're going to believe that gain is godliness, that the more you have, two houses, two cars, a boat, I mean, your own dock, I mean, you just got everything, that means you're godly because you're prosperous. No, that doesn't mean that at all. And Paul said that's what many would do. Paul said this love of money or materialism is the root of all evil. And it's the root of the evil now that's going to come with last day apostate teachers through covetousness, making merchandise of the gospel. Remember, I talked to you about this earlier in the week. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus dealing, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Remember those words? Remember old Simon the sorcerer? Oh my, we look at him as Philip went down there into Samaria in Acts 7 holding revival, and oh boy. Well, there we see it. You know what I mean? And old Simon now saw these believers getting the Holy Ghost. And what did he do? He offered Peter money that he might buy this, that he'd have the power that whom he laid his hands on had received the Holy Ghost. Old Simon, who was used to selling everything he had, like Balaam, you know, had whatever he had out there on the market. Well, now he wanted to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. You know why he wanted to buy it? He wanted to sell it. Want to profiteer on it. Oh, that grieved the heart of God. Peter said, Simon, you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You ought to pray and repent that perhaps God would forgive you of this awful thought of your heart. Ah, today, we better keep our eyes open. Surely we're going to see a flood tide of teachers coming in the last day. Covetous. Making merchandise in ways that you and I haven't even thought of yet. Oh, bless God today. Father, quicken the word and make it real and alive in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.